Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry.
This week's message is 1 Corinthians. Thank you to Dave, Earl, Jade, Zach, and Don for being part of the service. The scripture readings are Hosea 2, 19-23, and 1 Corinthians 1, 4-6.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4-6. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you.
On a personal note, I've been preaching now for 48 years, and I still don't understand things that the Apostle Paul says. It's difficult for many theologians to really grasp everything that's being said. So what I'd like to do today is just kind of go through some of these scriptures where the Apostle Paul has been preaching. And it was at a place called Corinth, which probably doesn't mean too much to us. But really what it means is Toronto, New York City, or any of those places. That was there. That was it. Back in those days, there were beautiful places. And we look at scripture, who's here, who's doing what, what's going on. And so when we come to this wonderful preacher, teacher, who at first did not believe in Jesus Christ, and then later, of course, does. And so he begins with this beautiful book, The Church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, and Jesus Christ, to be holy and everything else. So let me read it again. The church at the Beamsville Church of Christ, called by Jesus, together with all those everywhere, calling on them by the name of the Lord and ours. It's a repeat. Here we are, 2,000 years ago, right back to here. Here we are. So what do we do with all of that? Well, this is what we do. We talk about grace. We talk about peace. We talk about our God. We talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. Never say that history doesn't matter. History can be right now in these scriptures. And he begins with a thanksgiving to people who are beginning to be interested in Christ. He says, I always thank God for you because his grace has been given you in, who do you think? Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way. We have been enriched in every way. In our speaking, in our knowledge, and our testimony about Christ confirmed in each one of us still today. And then in verse 10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of us agree with one another. Why? So there won't be divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there have been quarrels. And then he says, not to be, not to be. Some talk about Apollos, some talk about someone else. And then he says, Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified? No. Were you baptized into the name of Paul? No. I'm thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, So no one can say to you that we're baptized by my name. People were starting to look at this Apostle Paul, thinking that he may have been a different type of Jesus. No, not the case at all. That's something that Paul would never, ever even consider. Talks about people being baptized. Yes, and beyond that, I don't remember how many more I baptized. But I've come to preach the gospel, not with words and human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ may be emptied of its power. It is this Apostle Paul who is focused, laser focused on Christ. And sometimes we can forget that. He says, where is the wise person? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since did not know God, was pleased through foolishness to what was preached to those being said. So in other words, he was letting people say things that weren't true. And so Paul comes along and he says, foolishness should be passed away. Preaching the gospel is what's most important. Demonstrating the gospel. And then he says, it is because of him that we are in Christ Jesus, who has become wisdom for us from God, and righteousness and holiness and redemption. All of these words that we don't use very often. But I just thought earlier today, how are we doing in Christ? How are we helping other people in their teachings of Jesus? How are we looking at these scriptures ourselves? We don't speak, he says, words taught by human wisdom, but really we've been taught by Jesus Christ. And so Paul, this wonderful theologian, is sharing for us, even this very moment, these words that he puts in here. And he says, so we are, and I love this, we are, imagine this, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Now, we worship in a building, but the building he's talking about is this, our building. He talks about all of this. His focus is on Christ. So then, men should not regard us, or should regard us, as servants and trust and be faithful in all of these things. And even though, and I love this part, and even though you have 10,000 guardians, maybe angels, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me, what he's doing. And so Paul is transferring his intelligence, his understanding of Christ, his speaking to other people, sharing it as much as he can. And that's what we do. That's what we do even right now. Even though, he says, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father. He is a preacher. He is a teacher. He is a walker. He's someone who is declaring the word of God wherever he has gone. So this wonderful little book is profound. And back in those days, there were Old Testament, you can remember, people bowing down, worshiping idols and sacrificing idols and so forth. He said, no, that's not us. That's not who we are. That's not what God has asked us to do. He says, don't you know that in the race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So Paul is saying, let's get back on the course. Let's listen to what Jesus has been taught for us. And then in chapter 10, he said, let's go back and learn some things that happened in the past. For I don't want you to know ignorant facts, brothers, that our forefathers were under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud of the sea. So he's saying, way back in the Old Testament, what God was doing with Israel, fantastic things, he hasn't left anything. He still comes to us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all of us coming together as one. Don't we have the most incredible family? It is really just amazing. But then there was some controversy over feasts, over Lord's Supper, and I think it's very difficult to grasp what happened 2,000 years ago. But here's what he says. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in that altar? In other words, when they're sacrificing, it's got nothing to do with God. They're just eating. Do I mean that sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? No, it isn't at all. Is idol anything? No. The sacrifices? No. Demons? No. We don't listen to any of those things. No one should be seeking his own good, but the good of others. And we share that with one another, the way we live, the way we speak, the way we talk. And so when Paul is continuing to say these things, he said, even as I try to please the body of Christ in every way, I can't do it. I need an example, and that's what chapter 11. Praise to you for remembering me in everything and for holding the teaching as I passed on to you. And now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. Isn't that a profound sermon? And then he talks about men and women and children all coming together in Christ. But he said, be careful, because some may fall back. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for as you eat, each one goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. So in other words, when they come together for communion, and we've had communion, it's to come together, as we've just done. But what was happening was, it was like, well, you know, I'll eat something over here, or I'll eat something over there, or I'll talk about something over there. No, that's not uniting. When we take the communion, we come together as one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And listen to this, us. We sometimes forget. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and us. 2,000 years ago, it's still happening today. It is so profound that it's incredible. We take the communion, we drink a little juice. But no, it's not that. It's inside of our soul, not just our brain, not just our emotion. It's who God created us. And we need to understand who each one of us is in Christ Jesus. So he says, let a man examine himself before he eats and drinks the communion. And he said, we not to be judging one another. but to love one another, to share one another. And then there were people who had these wonderful gifts of understanding scriptures. Paul talks about this. And then he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Bingo. One of the greatest scriptures in all the Bible. Because we're in it. That's what he says. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. How amazing and how wonderful. So when Paul writes, he shares, he talks, he demonstrates, he lets people come together with them. And even though there's a challenge over here and over there, it's a continual talking, a continual sharing. And he says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel, the one that I preached to you, the one that we have received, on which you've taken your stand. Listen to this now. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, it's just words. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. It doesn't mean a thing. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Do you remember the first time someone came to you and said, do you know something about this guy named Jesus? Do you know something about this person who is called the Lord, the God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Do you remember hearing those words, thinking those words? And it's still powerful words. He appeals to us. And then to all of the apostles, like we have today, all the disciples who've come together as one. And he said, be careful. He said, but if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection? It just doesn't make any sense. No, no. The communion, the death, the burial, the resurrection, who Jesus is, and as Christ lives in each one of us. He put everything under his feet, and that's for us as well. And so, he says, with personal requests, he says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be raised imperishable and changed, for the perishable must clothe with those things with imperishable, and mortal for immortality. All those wonderful things put together. So someone says, death has been swallowed up in victory. And that's the truth. That is the truth. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Ah, my loved one died. I'll never see them again. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. Death is not the end. Jesus has repeated that, Paul has repeated that, James has repeated that, Moses has repeated that all throughout. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Remember who we are because of Christ. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And your labor in the Lord should never be vain. This wonderful Paul, this incredible person. And then he, one more time, wants to encourage him. Be on your guard. Stand firm in faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas, and he talks about different people, that they were exemplar people, helping them. And so I finish with what Paul said in this particular book. The churches in the province of Asia, I send you greetings. Aquila, Priscilla, meet you warmly in the Lord, and does the church that meets in their house. Paul is writing, he says, no one else, but I'm writing to you. And I thought about that. 2,000 years ago, does this make sense? Yeah, I'm writing to you. I'm telling you this. I will ransom them. This is back from Hosea, put in by Paul. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. This is for us. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? No, it is all in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for watching. Have a great day.
The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. Scripture quotations marked NLT are taken from the Holy Bible, New Living Translation, copyright 2015 by Tyndale House Foundation. Used by permission of Tyndale House Publishers, Carroll Stream, Illinois, 60188. All rights reserved. Scripture quotations marked NIRV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Reader's Version, NIRV. Copyright 2014 by Biblica, Inc. Used with permission of Zondervan, zondervan.com. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.